Holiday parties, family gatherings, shopping and cooking with friends and family, these are the warmer images associated with the holiday season. But for some people, it's far from being the most wonderful time of the year. The so-called holiday blues shouldn't be taken lightly. We're talking about mental health here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It may be dealing with seasonal depression, grief over the death of a parent, perhaps a hard breakup, childhood trauma, family baggage, loss of any kind. It's hard to keep these feelings contained when the focus is on togetherness this season. Rachel Henricks is a master's prepared registered nurse. Her specialty is psychiatric mental health nursing. For the past decade, she's worked as a nurse educator at UW-Milwaukee, helping students become registered nurses. Rachel, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, Kate. It's nice to talk with you, and thank you for having me. And good morning, Wisconsin.
Well, we expect happiness during the holidays, but it can be a very difficult time of the year for some. Where is our mental health state during the holidays?
Well, for some, it is a wonderful, happy time of year, but for other people, it can be a very challenging time as they don't feel that happy or joyful. And as you introduced, the lyric, "It's the most wonderful time of the year," is true for some, but for some, they just want the holidays to be over with because it tends to heighten their awareness of loss or being alone. Some people feel blue due to extra stress. There's just a lot of pressure this time of year with work and the demands of gift-giving with your holiday, cooking, baking. Some people don't get as much sleep as usual. Some people are drinking more than usual. There are lots of contributing factors to feeling down this time of year.
And there are different levels of sadness that are part of this conversation. So can we pinpoint a definition for what the holiday blues are?
That is difficult. Even in the evidence, there is disagreement whether there is a true phenomenon of holiday blues. But the holiday blues certainly have some overlap with seasonal affective disorder, which is typically impacting people this time of year. We just had the winter solstice. We're in the darkest days of the year. Now we're getting more sunlight every day, but we're still really in dark days. That sun's setting like 4:30, 4:45, I think, here, even earlier in the northern part of the state. And that decreased sunlight really impacts that seasonal affective disorder. And then some of those symptoms also overlap with a more pervasive form of clinical depression. And there are several different disorders for major depression. It has many subtypes.
Well, before we get into depression, take us back to seasonal affective disorder. What is it, and how might we be able to diagnose it?
Well, certainly diagnosis should be with an advanced practice nurse, with a physician, with a psychiatrist, somebody who is really specialized in treating the disorder. But looking even at the National Institute of Mental Health, they are talking about that it may be related to low levels of vitamin D, and that patients are benefiting from physicians checking their vitamin D levels and initiating vitamin D therapy. That's one of the four treatments that is looked at. That person is often feeling down, feeling a loss of interest in activities they once enjoyed, feeling some difficulties with concentrating, perhaps making decisions, changes in their appetite. And also, when I think about seasonal affective disorder, I think about hibernating. That goes together with me. For me, there's often a social withdrawal that people don't want to be around others, that it's too much work, too much energy to talk with others or be at a gathering.
Rachel Hendricks is with us. She is a master's prepared registered nurse. Her specialty is psychiatric mental health nursing. We're talking about the challenges in mental health this time of year and how to address holiday blues. 800-642-1234. What solutions help you manage being sad, lonely, or stressed? Do you have seasonal affective disorder, as we've been talking about? What does that look like for you? And how do you take care of yourself? Do you live with depression? How do the holidays affect you? Call in 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Rachel, are our expectations part of the issue here? Like, the expectation is that we're all supposed to be really happy this time of year and feeling really warm toward others and our family. Is expectation an issue?
For some people, it really is an issue. We can build something up and view it in a way that skews reality a little bit. You don't have to do it all of the time. And yet, sometimes we feel like that, and then we start thinking like that. And that can become even a cognitive distortion, where we become very perfectionistic. We may see a situation as very black or white. It's got to be all done perfectly or don't do it at all. And that cognitive distortion can lead to a more pessimistic outlook on everything you're doing.
Let's go to Marcus now, joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. So a couple of years ago, I was suffering from, I guess, what would be considered seasonal depression. There was some loss in my family. I prefer not to go into that. But this year, I had a paradigm, you know, shift of mind. And so things that were causing me stress, like doing all the extra cookies, you know, and all the other types of stuff, I took and talked to my significant other, and we decided to tone it down. And so with our kids, we've raised them in such a way that they're happy with whatever gifts they get. And so it's not about the number, but it's about the quality. And they much rather, we give them gifts where we do a project together, or we go do an activity. And so it's easy to take and, you know, give a zoo pass or something else. And then it takes and it creates more family time, providing, you know, happiness. And it's something to look forward to, as opposed to, like, I got to go stress about going out to get a whole bunch of stuff that we really, you know, don't need. Because, I mean, I feel like most people during the rest of the year, they get what they need. And so the things that you really need around the holidays is, you know, like a washing machine or something when it breaks. And it's like, that doesn't happen at Christmas, you know?
Marcus, it sounds like you've been able to strike a balance in your life a bit more.
Working on it. Every day is a challenge. But, you know, I mean, if perfection's an ideal, you know, and if
absolutely.
You shoot for perfection, you know, you can't achieve perfection. But, you know, there's a point where you have to go, I've done the best I can, and you know that in your heart, and then you just move on.
Rachel, how do you... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I love the idea of the zoo pass as a gift for your children, and also I applaud you for encouraging your children to see everything they receive as a gift. We all are familiar with kids who have, and again, going back to expectations, you know, the temper tantrum when they open the wrong gift or they don't get something big enough this Christmas, and to realize that everything you receive is a gift. And I love the idea of that creating family memory, experiential gift. That's wonderful, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Marcus. We're talking about the holiday blues with Rachel Hendricks. Her specialty is psychiatric mental health nursing. You have a line to her, 800-642-1234. Do you deal with conflicting emotions during the holidays? Highs and lows? Do you live with depression? How do the holidays affect you? What are your coping strategies this time of year? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network. There is a difference between the holiday blues, which typically go away when the holiday season ends, and more severe depression, which lasts longer and interferes with activities of daily living. We're talking about holiday blues and mental health here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For some, this most wonderful time of the year is actually really difficult. And nurse Rachel Henrich stays with us to answer your questions about holiday blues and how to work these emotions. The number is 800-642-1234. How do the holidays affect you? What helps you manage while dealing with the good and less good parts of the holiday season? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Rachel, another point here to look at, you mentioned earlier, we didn't go into it, is living with depression, which is another facet of this. What can we look at and as we approach depression and the holidays?
Sure. If you're having feelings of being down and blues for more than 2 weeks, and if it's impacting your appetite and your sleep, and certainly if you're having any sort of thoughts about death or suicide, I encourage you to reach out. This is really key. Don't keep quiet. It's important to let someone else know you're going through a tough time. You don't have to keep calm and carry on, as they say. Asking for help is a sign of strength. And you being able to let at least one other person know what you're going through is very valuable. It's a part of self-care. If you're somebody who suspects somebody near you is struggling, perhaps with depression, I encourage you also to reach out. This is really important. Don't keep quiet. Your listening without judgment is being present for that person and demonstrating care. It's showing that person that they have value, and it can really help them get through a tough time.
So for people who know, who are diagnosed with depression, in treatment for depression, are the holidays a challenge?
I think it depends on where they are. They often can be, because there are more demands often for people as far as work, and with the increased darkness, that's also, for some people, they are very impacted by the amount of sunlight we have. So the holidays can be a time where depression is felt more acutely, certainly.
And anxiety is also a part of this. How can we take care of ourselves during this busy season when it comes to managing anxiety?
Well, with managing anxiety, I encourage people to set limits and to break things down into smaller parts. So it may be very overwhelming to think about all you have to do in a week or in a day. Break it down to what you have to do this morning or in the next hour. And sometimes that breaking it down is really just the divide and conquer strategy, but it works, and it's part of self-care. It's also important to know your limits and to say no. You don't have to do everything that everybody asks of you, and to set realistic limits for yourself, and that includes on time. Our sleep is very key to our mental health, and oftentimes when we shortchange ourselves asleep, we feel more depressed and we feel more anxious.
Let's go to Bob now, joining us from Janesville. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning. Great topic.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, I'm a family medicine doctor, and when winter comes along, I usually see two things happen right away. One is dry, itchy skin, and the other one are people talking about stress and anxiety and depression, especially as you're approaching and going through the holidays. And so I agree with everything that's being stated, and for what it's worth, what I talk to my patients about are, you know, I thank them for talking about a difficult topic. And then I talk to them about a recipe that they have to kind of develop for themselves. And I tell them about 7 or 8 things, and they can choose none of them, or they can choose all the ingredients or a couple of them. And if you'd like, I can kind of tell you the ingredients that I talk to them about.
Please walk through this recipe for us.
Okay. So what I talk to them about are, you know, many things that that our specialist is already talking about, which is the importance of adequate sleep, the importance of vigorous exercise on a daily basis whenever they can. Heart-healthy eating, like a Mediterranean-style diet, has been shown to make a big difference. Totally agree about the vitamin D. Mindfulness. There's some really good and easy apps, such as Headspace, which I really like, to help people kind of delve into mindfulness and breathing exercises. Obviously, if they're prescribed a medication, they should take them every day. If they have a need to talk to a therapist and need behavioral cognitive therapy, I think that that's really important. And then I make sure that they follow up with me in about 1 or 2 months to just kind of check in on them. You know, obviously assess for somebody who's suicidal and get them the care that they need. But I always tell them it's not just one thing. You know, it's a number of things that can really be helpful. But, you know, one recipe for one person may be very different from what they need.
It's a very individual.
Absolutely.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for the call. Rachel, what strikes you here?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly that it is very individualized. And the idea of a recipe, I think, is helpful for people. That what tastes good to one doesn't taste good to another, and what works for one person might be more of one ingredient and less of another. And so I like his list of ingredients and looking at working with your provider to strike your own individualized treatment plan.
One thing we haven't addressed here is stigma. Talking about mental health can also be associated with a stigma. So what is your take on that?
Well, there's lots of stigma out there, but there's also lots of stigma in ourselves that people judge themselves. This goes back to the cognitive distortions. They see themselves as a nothing or as weak because of feeling anxious or feeling down or of not perhaps being their best self this particular month. And I think that's important to address. When I'm teaching mental health nursing, I'm working on stigma in almost every facet of my course because it is the enemy of empathy and of providing therapeutic nursing care. And stigma starts really with ourselves, with being self-aware of how we're looking at mental health, mental illness, and these disorders.
How can we support loved ones as they manage how they're feeling this season and beyond?
Yes, I think, again, reaching out. Don't keep quiet. Sometimes we're thinking, well, maybe that person is embarrassed. But often they're more relieved if somebody's willing to talk with them about feeling down, feeling depressed. And I think they feel cared for when someone is checking in on them. You're wanting to listen again without judgment. Refer to support as needed. Again, we've talked about, especially if somebody is having thoughts of death or suicide, to call the Wisconsin Suicide Hotline, to get to a provider, to get to an emergency room if they are very actively suicidal. That's very important.
And what can we find at 211.org?
Oh, lots of resources. If you're someone who's looking for a doctor to talk about your feelings of depression or feeling down. If you're looking for a counselor in the area, 211 also has support groups. It would have the numbers for NAMI, the National Alliance of Mentally Ill chapters in your area that are free support groups, both for individuals with mental health challenges and also for their family members. NAMI has really great support groups for family members.
Well, Bob was talking about a recipe, which got me thinking about diet and how our diets change during this time of year. How does a diet contribute to our mental health?
Well, that's interesting, and they are doing a lot of research right now regarding diet and mental health because our neurotransmitters are, many of them, made in the intestines. And so
they're looking at that for treatment. But as Bob said, people are feeling better, we know, with kind of that Mediterranean diet. But you can have great symptoms, GI symptoms, when you're having depression or anxiety. You can really lose your appetite. You can have an increased appetite. People can have carbohydrate cravings. There's a lot of variation.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us and talking about this.
My pleasure. It was an honor to be on your show, and thank you for having me.
Rachel Henricks is a master's prepared registered nurse. Her specialty is psychiatric mental health nursing, and for the past 10 years, she's worked as a nurse educator at UW-Milwaukee, helping students become registered nurses. Up next, it's news. Then Paul Ryan is retired from Congress. We discuss his legacy and the future of the Republican Party. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.